All right, Philippians chapter 3. I want to, the word that came to me this week to share with you has to do with getting ready for a new year. Has to do with getting ready for what's coming ahead. I think the first time I've had to talk to you this year, so I'm a little late. Hope you didn't mess up. Hope you haven't messed up so far. Amen. I mean, probably should have said this to you on January 1st, but God's got plenty of grace for you. Amen. If you got a slow start, this'll help you. Amen. God will forgive you. It's okay. Amen. Some of you had plans. Of course, you know, I'm not going to talk about your New Year's resolution. You probably already messed that one up. Amen.
I never started.
You never started that one? Did you write it down? Didn't even write it down. There you go. It was a fleeting thought. Well, I ought to, you know, do something. I ought to lose weight. You know, I ought to do this. I ought to do that. See, all the things we think of are things we think of when we're looking in the mirror, or that our husband or our wife or our kids think we ought to do, you know, and they make suggestions. Anybody ever had suggestions for you?
Well, Pastor David, I am on a week right now.
You're on a week?
That's right.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
A week and a day today.
Praise the Lord. So. Awesome, awesome. Amen. Nobody's keeping track, are they? You're not even keeping track, are you? Amen.
Every minute comes
I see, yeah, okay. Well, don't be fearful.
Right.
Don't be fearful.
Today's message.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. Amen. Amen. It's good. Yeah, because all of these things that men plan to do are basically just an opportunity to fail. Amen. Everything we commit to do, you know, it's like, man, what a depressing message. I was going to do something good this year. I was going to really change, you know. Well, how many know that Jesus is the only one who changes you? Amen. So, I mean, if you're determined to do something, just submit it. Run it past him first and see if he's interested in working on that this year. Amen. Well, glory to God, I'm going to do this. Well, more power to you.
Make him laugh.
More power to you. Amen. So what we want to do, though, is look at the Scripture and find out what the Scripture tells us to do with respect to that. You know, when God created the heavens and the earth, he created the stars and the moon and the sun for seasons. Thank God we have seasons. You know, we have a season about every 12 hours. Anybody know that? Sun comes up, then what happens? Sun goes down. So you have a season. You don't have to wait for the beginning of the year. You can just wait till nighttime, or you can wait till the next morning. I mean, things can change just like that. Amen? I mean, you don't need to be stressing out over how things need to change. What you need to do is spend time in the presence of God.
Amen.
Spend time finding out the knowledge of, building up the knowledge of God. That's what the Word tells us to do. Not about doing things to please Him, because He's already pleased. How many know God's already pleased?
Yeah.
Amen. Who's He looking at? You? No. He's looking at the face you had on. Remember the mask we talked about a minute ago? Said putting on that Jesus mask. You put on Jesus. You go, just put on Christ. It's as simple as that. Yeah, to put on Christ is simply to agree that He is your salvation. Amen? To put on Christ is to say amen to the finished work of Jesus in me. I mean, how much more do you need to do? Nothing.
That's it.
Nothing. What happens next? What He does.
Yeah.
He gets to work. Amen? Now, sometimes you have to find out, you might have to get out of the way. He comes plowing through, and you were a little bit surprised by the next thing that was going to happen, or you were surprised by the next thing that He said, okay, do this. See, the doing this and the obedience to Christ has nothing to do with the fact of whether you're saved or whether He likes you or not. Obedience to Christ has to do with glory and success.
Yeah.
Amen? Obedience to Christ has to do with just doing what He says to do. Just do what He said. Not so He'll like you, and not so you'll still be saved.
Right. Yes, right.
Huh?
Amen.
Obedience to Christ has to do with, just like He said, just like we talked about earlier, don't cross the street right there. Don't step in front of that car. Don't handle that problem. You know, sometimes we're tempted to handle a problem. And he may say, let that alone. Remember how you used to tell your kid, don't touch that pot, it's hot? Sometimes God tells you, don't touch that. And it looks like you should save it. It looks like you should save something. And God says, don't save that.
Yeah, drop it.
Amen? Anybody, has that ever happened to you? Is God, you were fixing to save the ark? Mm-hmm. What happened to the guy that saved the ark? You remember him? Mm-hmm. Uzziah? Or not, that's the king. Not Uriah, he's the other guy. Yeah, the guy, you know, Uzzah. Uzzah. All these Uzzah guys. Well, Uzzah, he tried to save the ark, and what happened? He got struck down. He's probably a believer. It's like getting run over by a car. Don't do that. It's not that, and the fact that you got struck down. So many things that we want to say, well, God is looking for somebody to strike him down. No, not true at all. God is not looking for you to strike you down. God is not doing that. How come somebody died? Well, sometimes it's because they just did something stupid. And St. Peter's standing, I don't think St. Peter's really standing at the gate. I think Jim Robbins is standing at the gate. Amen. Amen. He just got there and he got put in charge. You know, he just got there. Amen. He's standing there just handing out bulletins and hugging people. Amen. So anyway, so you get there and Jim Robbins says, why are you here? You're not on the list. There are people who have arrived, you know, and they weren't supposed to be there yet. Amen. Listen to God. Listen to God.
Right.
All right. You'd imagine I'd rather get to the scripture before I really mess up. All right. Philippians chapter 3. Paul is speaking, obviously, to the church at Philippi, the church of the Philippians. And he's talking to them in the next few verses about keeping away from false teachers and false teaching. And he talks about how to walk in the Spirit and how to walk in the power of God. So that's what we want to do. You want to say, and just this year, maybe just start to forget this year, maybe just tomorrow. Maybe just, you know, don't wait till February. You know, just begin now. Is that I'm going to walk in the Spirit. And I'm going to walk knowing who I am in Christ Jesus and that my efforts are not my salvation, but His work, His finished work, is my salvation, and it's daily. Amen? See, I want to share with you how to rejoice every day. And it's going to be right here in this thing. Okay? And you know it so well. I'm serious. You do. Finally, brethren, finally, rejoice in the Lord. Everybody should try that. Just try it. Amen. So you can hear your own ears. Try it again so you can hear it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'll cover this mic so I can just do it. Well, here. Turn it off. In my own ears. Amen? It's important to do that. It's important to do that. Anybody ever read the Bible out loud? Not to your children, just to you. Amen? It's good to read the Scriptures in the hearing of your ears. I think it's great to be able to, you get it through the eye gate and you get it through the ear gate. Amen? You get it through both. You know, and then you write it down. And you're writing it down. You know, I've written down a bunch of the Scriptures that I'm going to talk about today. But they were already written in the Bible. Why would I take the time to write them out? It's so that I know, I have in me what I'm going to say, you know, having read it and spoken it and then written it. And taking notes for myself. So finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Girls, y'all are brethren. You know that, right? Say amen. Okay, good. To write the same things to you or to preach the same things to you over and over and over again. To me indeed is not grievous. It's not like drudgery. But for you it is safety. to say the same thing continually over and over and over again. Okay, we say the same thing over and over and over again because when you come here, you know, you've been run through the ringer, right? Every day, every month, every week, you've kind of been run through the ringer. So we need to say the same things over and over again to remind you and to build up your faith so that you know exactly who you are, so you know exactly what's happening in the Spirit, even though you can't see it. Is that every day you're being built up. Every day the power of God resides on the inside of you and you live in Him and through Him. In Him we live and we move and we have our being. Amen? That's right. In Him we live and we move and have our being. He says, beware of dogs. Now he's not talking about, Daphne or Jingles, my dogs or your dogs. He's talking about people. He's talking about false prophets. He's talking about people who are, next says, beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Now, when he talks about the concision is basically a kind of a term that he's using in a derogatory manner, talking about the Judaizers who want the Gentiles to get their men circumcised as a matter of becoming a believer, a Christian. And he's saying it's not necessary. And so he says, beware. He puts them in the same category as false prophets and people who work iniquity, people who do evil works, and the concision. These people who are the ones who are discounting what Jesus did in favor of saying you still have to do these works of the flesh. Those works of the flesh were a type and a shadow of things to come. They are not required of the Christian who is a man who believes that Jesus Christ has redeemed you from all sin. Yes. Amen. Yeah, that's right. All right. So he's using it. The concision means those who mutilate. So at this point, once Jesus Christ has died, resurrected, and sent His Spirit to dwell on the inside of a believer, that's all that practice is. Is now it is just a cutting, a physical mutilation that has no value, no value. And so he is using that to say, just the cutters, the mutilators. Beware of those guys. So in other words, those who are in this context know who he's talking about. Does that make sense? Is that he is putting aside the works of the flesh that came with Judaism, which now in Christ Jesus have been done away with because Jesus Himself has come. The perfect has come. That which is imperfect has passed away. Amen? So beware of the concision in that case. Or the ones who say, in our day, who would be the Christians who say that you have to carry on this practice. You have to do this, and this to be a Christian. No, you have to hear God. You have to obey the Holy Spirit. You have to listen to the Holy Spirit. And, well, what if we do something wrong? The Holy Spirit will tell you. How many know the Holy Spirit actually he talks? John says it. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And the Spirit delivered to him what Jesus was saying. Amen? This is you. You live in the Spirit. Read Galatians, read Ephesians. You're living in the Spirit. And every day it's important or incumbent upon us, necessary for us to remember these things. Peter talks about it abundantly, is remembering every day the things that God has done so that every day you're rejoicing. I'm happy. Do I get irritated or something in a moment? For a few minutes, maybe. Sometimes. But, you know, it cannot last. It cannot last. People will do something in your presence or something. They'll do something that'll just kind of get your goat. Anybody that ever happened? You know what I mean, right? Anybody got a goat? Somebody got it? Yeah, okay. Yeah, and you got mad because they came and got your goat. Some of you were happy they got your goat. But they came and got something else that you didn't want them to get. So what I'm telling you is that people get, they just get under your skin. And for a moment, but in Jesus, You just release it in Jesus' name. Just release it. And even if it took you a while to release it, I'll tell you what, it doesn't drag you down. Some people get a hold of things. Some people things get a hold of them, and it just for years.
Yeah.
That's it. It's ruined them for years. Amen. I mean, how many of that? Never mind. Don't answer. Amen. Just all of you together say amen.
Amen.
Yes. There you go. Okay. No hands up or anything. Because God's doing something in you, and say, just Father, just release me from that. Right now, I forgive. Just forgive right now in Jesus' name. Now, I know there's something somewhere that the Holy Spirit wants you. It says, just trust me. It's not you forgive because you feel like it. You forgive because what? What did we talk about earlier? Obedience, right? Obedience is, it's a better idea than yours. My idea is to hold them in bondage. Guess who's held in bondage by unforgiveness? You are. I mean, they don't care. The person you're holding in unforgiveness probably doesn't even know. But you're just grinded and upset and just, you know, and in fact, you're being poverty stricken because of it. Because your whole idea and your whole mindset has to do with focusing on something that was done wrong to you. Let it go. Well, they stole from me. Hear the Holy Spirit. I mean, hear the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying you can't go to court for an injustice. I'm not saying that. But you don't carry it. You let the court carry it. Does that make sense? See, some people, they go to court and they carry it. No, you give it to the dumb lawyer. Any dumb lawyers here? No, you give it to the dumb lawyer. And you let it go. And you just let the thing go. And if it works, it works. It's Jesus. If not, just let it go. Amen? I mean, God's got the handle on it. He's the judge, isn't he? I said, He's the judge. So we let that go. Father, thank you for doing that right now in Jesus' name. Now, as a brother, God may just say, let the guy go. You know, I mean, people break churches up because of that stuff. You know, what you need to do is go in there and love that guy. You know, just love that brother. Amen? And just forgive him. Just forgive him. They may pay you back or they may make restitution. But you forgive them. Sometimes you don't even need to say that. You know, you ever done that? Sometimes people didn't even know you as mad. You just need to tell God and just get released. Amen? Are we having fun yet? Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, did you forgive her? Amen. Oh, you made him a list? Okay. See if he was naughty or nice. Oh, you're on the naughty list. All right, just let him off the naughty list. Praise the Lord. Don't be under the naughty list. Glory to God. I'm glad y'all need to move down one more row forward, I think. All right. See, he says, beware of all these people. Beware of false prophets who try to tell you that it's not right. That here's what you need to do. Or they're putting a burden on you. They're putting a burden on you to perform in order to make Christ happy. Jesus happy. The Father happy. The Father loves you. Jesus said it. Remember? The Father himself loveth you. Amen? So it's not like Jesus is your friend and the Father's your enemy. No. Jesus came because the Father sent him. It's the Father in heaven who loves you. Oh, he loves you. He's the one who's waiting, looking for you coming back from the big pen. Isn't he? That's the Father. He's looking for you. He's got the beans on. You know, I mean, he is cooking. He has got everything ready. Kill the fatted calf when he comes up. Give him the ring. Take care of him. He's got everything ready. Just come home. Okay, listen. He says, verse 3, for we are, now he's talking in deference to, or not as the concision in verse 2, not as just the mutilators. He says, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. The circumcision which is of the Spirit. What is circumcision? Removing flesh. And the Spirit is who removes flesh. The deeds of the outward flesh are being removed from the inside out. That is the works of the flesh that come from the inside. That's the part that's being removed. And it's by the Spirit, not by your effort. You know, it's going, okay, now you're forgiven. So shape up. No. You're forgiven. Now I'm going to shape you up.
That's right.
But come into His presence. Because otherwise you're going to try to do it. And it just makes a big mess. I mean, did you ever let a little kid work on work on bacon and stuff like that? You know, Esther used to do that. But she cleans up now. She cleans up everything, you know. It really is very nice. You know, back in the old days, it was not very nice. like a tornado went through there. Yeah. Suzanne, do you remember that kind of thing? Yeah. Oh, the girls did something. Oh, praise the Lord. See, that comes from what happens when the flesh tries to accomplish something. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, which rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. Praise the Lord. Amen? You have no... This is the people who are born from above. These are the people who are born again, who know Jesus Christ. They have no confidence in the flesh. Have you kind of given up on the flesh? You kind of look in the mirror and go, well, forget it. Well, it's a good idea. Just kind of skip it. Amen. But then don't just give up on the flesh, but go immediately into the prayer closet. That's and right. Begin to rejoice. Amen. Begin to rejoice and thank God. God, you know, I've just messed up. I just really have messed up. And thank God that you have not forsaken me, but in fact, you're the one who's in me to will and to do of your good pleasure. Yeah. Amen. That's back in chapter 2. You can read that in chapter 2. He is in me both to
will.
He changed my willer.
Yeah.
You know, so now I'm willing. And what did I say? I'm messing up two scriptures. So anyway, what I just said. And so you remember that God made him willing back in the Old Testament. He actually, in moments of time, especially when it came to giving, which was funny. Y'all should laugh at that one. When it came to giving, God made him willing. And they became willing. And when they were given for the tabernacle, you know, they were given all that gold and stuff. You know, and then also they were given for the temple in Chronicles. They were given for the temple, and God made them willing. And then when there's too much coming in, He said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa!" He said, "Tell the people to quit giving. It was just too much. They didn't have anywhere to put it." Yeah, amen. Yeah. So He said, "If you'd be willing and obedient, you'll either go to the land." So if you'd be willing, well, you can't be willing on your own, can you? And basically, you just can't be. So He is in. Oh, now we're back to the sea. When God wants you to say something, He'll make you forget the other thing until you get back around. He's all right. See, He's in you to will, and then He's in you to
do.
Say it. To will and to. So He does both. Doesn't He do both? Isn't that great? He's in you to will, and you better do. No, didn't say that. He's in you to will and to do. Okay. Praise the Lord. Oh, there it is. Yeah. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's chapter 2, verse 13 of Philippians. All right, now. Okay, we're looking here at verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. You can turn there if you want to. You should know it. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says this. There is therefore now no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Not after, the King James probably says, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So in other words, there is no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So if you were to walk after the flesh, that would be coming back to here to this verse in Philippians, what we talked about. We have no confidence in the flesh. Amen? So if you're going to walk after it with confidence, with hoping that the flesh can accomplish something to please God, you're dead wrong. All right? And he says, but walking after the Spirit, there's no condemnation. That is walking, listening to the voice of the Holy Ghost. Letting the Holy Spirit guide your day. Guide your moments. Amen? All that does, listen, all that distinction makes is that you are not attempting to keep on God's good side. Okay? You're not attempting to keep on God's good side to stay saved and stay blessed. Amen? That's not what you're doing. What you're doing is you're already blessed. You're already pleasing to God because of what? Faith. You're pleasing to God because of faith. So I'm pleasing to God. Say that. I'm pleasing to God because of faith in Jesus. That's it. Now, what happens is obedience, what that does is blesses you. Obedience is causes you to walk in the fullness of the finished work. Amen? He causes you to walk in the fullness of the finished work. So, casting off those old imaginations, casting off thoughts and things of this nature in this world, casting off those thoughts, and thanking Him that daily He is your provision. Amen? All right. So let's read that again. I'm going to read Romans 8:1 again just quickly. There is therefore now no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. So the joy of that verse is, hey, there's no condemnation. And walking after the flesh doesn't help me. Only walking after the Spirit. Okay, let's keep finding out what a little more about walking after the Spirit. All right. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, says Paul. And now he's going to talk about you may have your reasons why you'd be confident in your flesh. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he has something to be, that he might trust in the flesh, I do more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. I've kept every law that there is, he says. But what things were gained to me, those I counted for loss. Everything that I could possibly have ticked off as a, have checked off as a benefit to Jesus, to let Him know why I should be in the kingdom of God, I tore it up and wrote it off. Because there's nothing. There's nothing to it. He's the best guy that could possibly be. And if He's not in, you're not. But He's not in because of that. And He couldn't get in because of that. And neither can you. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. For the excellency, now listen to this now. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Y'all know what that means, right? That I may win Christ. Everything I've ever done that I thought was valuable to God, I just kind of put it in the trash can. I didn't even look at it twice. You ever find stuff you lay in drawers, put away in drawers and things that you kept for, certainly I'll need this at some time. How much junk do you have? I got lots. Esther asked me, said, this may not be the thing to share at church. Y'all going to keep all those Christmas cards? She's talking about the ones that the ones that you still got up from 10 years ago in the drawer. Not the ones you sent this year, brother. We'll leave them up for another 2 days. Till the end of January. Because you will look different next year in your picture. So, I mean, there's no reason to keep it, right? But listen. All this stuff that you keep and all the stuff that you hang on to. Yeah, I find that my dad, he's doing everything he can to unload everything. I mean, I say, do I need that? What was that from, a month ago? Throw it out. Yeah, I mean, he is pristine. He likes to keep everything complete. He's 84. He didn't want to go through a lot of stuff. And I'm thankful. I don't want to go through a lot of stuff either. You know, when the time comes, I don't want to go through a bunch of stuff. So it's good to, I tell my mom, I said, Mom, go ahead and work on that stuff. Go ahead and work on getting rid of that stuff. Yeah, that way I don't have to do it later, you know, and figure out whether, that way I'll end up with it, and I'm going to end up looking at it going, well, I might want to keep that. Y'all ever like that? Keeping old stuff, keepsakes and stuff like that, you know. Janet's pretty good about just putting it in the drawer. She says she's going to throw it out, but she just puts it in the drawer. So we got drawers that are, you know, exploding. But she claims she's throwing it out. All right. So though I might have confidence in the flesh, I don't have any no confidence in the flesh. Amen? So he says, verse 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, who count them but dung, that I may win Christ. See, so that you might win Christ. So the knowledge of Christ comes also through getting rid of all the other stuff that's making noise, all the other stuff that's trying to get your attention, right? The stuff that you thought might have been helpful. And that at verse 9 may be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, and being made conformable to his death. That I may know him. Okay, so look up in verse 8. It says, For the excellence, I count all those other things as loss for the what? In favor of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Verse 10, jump down there, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. So his death is my death. Amen? His death is my death. He died taking all of my sin and all of my failure upon himself, so that when he rose, I rose. I am risen with him. And I have no baggage. Well, it looks like you got a lot of baggage. I've been seeing you waking up and doing things that are not too good. You've been still holding on to some things. That's because you still have one of these. You still have this flesh bag that you got. All right? But the thing is, the flesh bag that you got is not you. The power of God on the inside of you, that by the Spirit, that's you. That's you. All right? So you're casting off the old man, putting off the old man, and putting on the new man. How do you put on the new man? By faith. You put on the new man by putting on that mask. Remember we talked about it? Putting on the mask, the Jesus mask. Well, when I look in the mirror, who do I see? Jesus. So it's not saying that you didn't mess up. What it is saying is that who you are is Jesus Christ in your person. Now the flesh man, he fails. Jesus made provision for that. He said we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So get on that right away. Amen? Get on that right away. Well, what if you didn't mean it? No, you did mean it. Well, I'm not sure if I meant that. Don't be silly. If you went for it, if I'm going for forgiveness, I believe in it. Amen? See, the enemy, he likes to stir you up and give you all kinds of thoughts that, well, you didn't mean that. No, if you're going to take advantage of that promise, you meant that. Amen? I'm going to say that I meant that, even though my brain is going 100 miles an hour, going the other way. Well, you didn't really mean that. No, no, no. I went after that verse. I went and looked it up. I went and found it. Because I believe in the forgiveness of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the forgiveness of Jesus. So I'm going back to the Scripture, and I'm remembering and I'm reminding myself daily that I'm born from above. Amen? And that I'm forgiven. Listen, it's about remembering these things. Peter says it, He says, I'm going to remind you of these things until I'm dead, so that after I'm dead, you'll have these things in your remembrance. One of my favorite scriptures. Yeah. I love that. Is it like, so after I'm dead, you'll still be remembered. Man, that guy said that thing all the time. We were sick of hearing that. But the fact is, you remember it. Yeah. Amen? Jesus said He gave you a meal, not so it would become something supernatural inside of you, change into blood. That's not what He gave it to you for. He gave it to you, why did He say He gave you that meal? To thank you. You remember.
Yes.
You'll remember what He did.
Yes.
That blood and that body have saved you. The blood and the body. So you're eating and drinking that cup and that bread to remind and to so that you know that you remind yourself as often as you drink it, as often as you eat it, that you bring these things to your remembrance. All right, verse 10 says it that I may know Him. That's the importance, is that you may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Now, verse 11, look at that. It says, if by any means I am become conformable to His death, that if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of Jesus, not as if I had already attained or were already perfect, but I follow after. I keep following. If that I may be apprehended for that which also I, or sorry, that I may apprehend or catch up with or receive or get a hold of, that I may get a hold of that for which I am also apprehended. So I want to get a hold of what He got a hold of me for. He's already got me. He's already apprehended me. He caught me. And now I want to receive what I got caught for. Amen? Is that what He's saying? Is that I want to get what You got me for. I hope that makes sense. God bless you. Jesus says, I want you to have the things that I got you for. I don't want you to miss out on anything that I brought you in so I could bless you. And I don't want you to just miss out. I'm going to read that one more time. You go back and read verse 12, and you read it in five translations if you want, and just test that one out. It says, not as though I had already attained or were already perfect, but I follow after, I keep coming, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And that's your sanctification. That's your sanctification. That is the fact that your sins are dropping off. You're sinning less and less. And you're walking with Jesus more and more. And those things which you... And most of the time, sinning is just having to do with the fact that you felt like you were cheated and you went off and just wanted to eat more ice cream. Or you wanted to eat more, you know, something that you felt like you were being deprived of. Amen? I'm just not being well taken care of, you know, because the enemy wants you to believe you. That's the enemy doing that, you know, and it's your own flesh, you know, because you like ice cream, or like some people. God is good. He is transforming you. He is changing you. Amen? Now listen, let's finish this up. Not as though I had already attained... Either were already perfect. Everybody raise your hand. Mm-hmm. That's me. That's right. I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended by Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, and this will help you, forgetting those things which are behind. This is your thing for this year or this week or tomorrow. Yeah. Forgetting those things that are behind. So many people, they hang on to the things that they did. And that defines their year. Or that defines their week. Or that defines the rest of their life. He says here, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. Everybody say this with me. Forgetting those things that are behind. Say it again. Forgetting those things which are behind. Okay, next verse, next part. And reaching forth to those things which are before. Okay, there's a visual for you. Let's say I'm headed to the window. That's behind. Behind me is behind me. This is what's ahead. I've got stuff that I could remember and I could turn around. You remember Lot's wife?
Yeah. She looked back.
What did God say? What did God say here? Don't do that. I didn't even have that verse until just now. God said, because you're standing here and all of a sudden you're thinking, she looked back. But you see, God anticipated that and He said, don't. He said, don't look back. Don't look back. You know, because my potted plant was back there. You know, my neighbor was back there. So-and-so was back there. You know, somebody's behind you. He says, but, I better read it first before I mess up. Reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark. I see it right there, that tree out there. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And what might that be? Well, of course, that's a racing analogy. You know, is forgetting those things. You know, like in a relay race. Yeah, you would have the baton. You're not worried about the guy behind you. You got the baton. It's yours. You go. Maybe he tripped or something on the way giving it to you. But once you've got it, you've got it. And you just follow Jesus. You just walk with Jesus. Just walk with Jesus, okay? And so you're pressing forward to the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature in that particular word, be so minded, be thus minded. So let, as you grow in the Lord, be have that mind. Let this mind be also in you which was in Christ Jesus. You remember that scripture? It says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. He didn't count anything as like being in heaven as something that he needed to work for. Because he's Jesus. Neither do you. You don't count yourself as having to work to gain God's favor. Amen? Say, I'm favored of God. People hate it when you make them say stuff. Do you know that? I get that after the sermon. I hate it when you make me do that. Yeah, it's okay. You just don't say it. And be disobedient. And I tell you what, if you'll say it, you'll be blessed. No, you just like to hear people say things. Fine, whatever you think. No, I like you to say it because I like you to have it. I just like you to hear it. I like you to hear you say it so that you know it and you've got it and it belongs to you. I don't just like to hear me say it. I say it all the time. Amen? I want you to hear it and you to say it and you to walk in it. That way I can call you when I've got a problem. You know? Amen. Or keep y'all from calling Pastor Jim so much. Yeah, poor guy never gets any sleep. Amen. I mean the ones of you that call him after 10 p.m. You know, so. Amen. Yeah, you can call him before that. It's fine. All right. So I got this tree out here. Okay, so I'm pressing for this mark. So let us therefore, verse 15, look at that, be as many as be mature, those of you who have been taught. It's like in Hebrews chapter 6, it says, let's press on past the doctrines of salvation through faith and resurrection. And come on, let's grow up. Ephesians chapter 4, that you may grow up into Him, which is the head, even Christ. He gave pastors so you could grow up, not so you could stay on the phone all the time. Amen. He said that you might grow up. Guess what? You can pray. Amen. You can actually pray for those, you know, that God's given you to raise up and to disciple. Pastors aren't the only disciples. You're disciples too. Amen. Amen. I know Rich got you know, got a hold of that. You know, people discipling him and growing him up. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Right.
It's powerful. So as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Be minded just like this, is that you apprehending just those prior verses. Read that whole prior section, and so that you remember what it is that you're forgetting those things that are behind, pressing forward to the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, forgetting those things that are behind, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of His sufferings. Well, what does that mean? I mean, I got to suffer with Jesus and get nails in my hands. And well, how about this? How about if you just suffer with Him, suffering abuse and people looking at you and going, "What in the world are you talking about?" I mean, Jesus would go about talking about the kingdom of God, and of course the Pharisees come along and say, "What are you talking about?" Amen. The sufferings of Christ are the fact that you're going to be disregarded by family, you're going to be disregarded by friends, you're going to lose relationships because of your hope and your faith in Christ. Amen? Now some parts of the world, yeah, they do suffer actual persecution.
Yes. Death.
You may not,
Lord.
But what you will do is you'll suffer persecution. Those who live righteous in Christ Jesus will what?
Suffer
persecution. Okay, verse 16, "Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." That is, to the point that we have gotten faith to this point, stay with it. Stay, trust God. Don't let anybody take that away from you. Let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Read a couple of things quickly and then we'll close. We talked about the knowledge of Him. We talked about where Paul says in verse 8, he said, "I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ." And verse 10, "that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection." You can write these down if you want to in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. He says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." 2 Corinthians 2:14, "and makes manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." Ephesians 1:17 says, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." We grow by the knowledge of Him. That is fellowshipping with Him, coming into His presence. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, "till we all come," he's given pastors and prophets and evangelists and teachers, "till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, till you mature, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now over in 2 Peter, I'm going to expand on these just a little bit. 2 Peter, verses 5 through 8. "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity," or agape. "For if these things be in you and abound, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give ye diligence," be diligent, "to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. So an entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And he goes on to talk about the fact that he won't be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things. 2 Peter, verses 5, and I continued on to verse 10. All right, 2 Peter 2:20. Read the first two verses of chapter 2. But there were false prophets. This is 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and then we'll go jump down to verse 20. But there were also false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And listen up, verse 2. Many will follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And these are those who had followed those teachings. For if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and yet they are entangled again therein and overcome by them, the latter end is worse than the beginning. So what that is telling you is, once you've heard the truth, don't follow teaching that tells you that you have to do something else. Or that now that you're free, you can just live, you know, like you want to. No, he says obedience. That is following the Lord. Knowledge, the knowledge of Christ will change you. Amen? So many folks want to get saved, and then just live like the devil. Amen? But the thing is, it's going to destroy you. Destroys the testimony of Christ, it's going to destroy you. Amen? So what you're doing is you're not improving yourself. What you're doing is maintaining your walk with Jesus. Maintaining your walk with Jesus. Amen? Because your flesh is always going to want to back up. But always maintain walking. What I'm saying by maintain is you're not doing it. You're not working it. But you're continually rejoicing and thanking God for His finished work. Amen? And then finally, 2 Peter 3:18. Peter's got some good stuff. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Father, we just thank You today. Thank You for the Word. Thank You that You have commanded us that we should forget those things that are behind and press forward to the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Thank You, Lord God, that we forget those things which are behind, which attempt to bring us back into condemnation. And bring us back into a means of saying, well, I guess I've messed up or failed, or I'm just not going to make it. Father, we thank You right now that in forgetting those things that are behind, we receive Your forgiveness. We cast our cares upon You because You care for us. And Father, we receive the engrafted Word, which is able to save our souls, transform our man, our outward man, from one degree of glory to the next by the Spirit that lives on the inside of us. We give You praise, Lord God, that our efforts are not to be pleasing to You because we're already pleasing to You by faith, but that we walk according to Your Word so that we might enjoy the fullness of the finished work of Jesus, growing in the knowledge of Him day by day. So we honor You, we praise You, we glorify You, we give You thanks. And Lord God, we thank You, we ask You this year, this day, as we walk through the rest of 2017, walk through the rest of January, or we walk through the rest of this week, that, Lord God, You are transforming us into Your image. Father, we do forgive those who have done us wrong. We forgive those who didn't do us wrong, but we perceived it, and therefore we held them in contempt. We forgive right now in Jesus' name so that we might be free. And we give You the praise, and we give You the glory, and we thank You. And everybody said, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.